I'm green. Ooh, and I'm on. Thank you. That is so cool. Okay. I decided to stand down here with you guys this morning because last time I was up on stage and I'm like, I'm so far away from you guys. And I love interaction. I love being a part. And so I like being down here with you guys. So I think that for the most part, a lot of us were together a couple of months ago. But I'm just going to do a really, really quick recap so we're kind of all on the same page from what I talked about a couple of months ago. So I shared my testimony, my story, in a cute little, like, once upon a time story form. And I shared about a king and a queen who lived in this beautiful castle and has this beautiful little girl who's a princess. And the princess grew up in the castle, but the king and queen, they loved the princess so much, right? But the king and queen, they would argue and they wouldn't get along. And the little girl, it would be too much for her, and so she would go into the highest tower, and she would shut all the doors, and she would stay in the highest tower because it was just so much. And then on occasion, we would go out to the village, right? And in the village, there would be ogres who would do really sad things to the little girl. And the little girl grew up full of shame, and she felt dirty, and she didn't feel good about herself, right? And I shared that's me, that I was the little girl who grew up in a lot of trauma. And, you know, it's crazy, right? Because children are really, really, really resilient. I mean, and I've seen it, guys. I've seen it over the years, how kids can just put up walls just in order to survive. And they grow up and they're so brave, right? And they've fought and they've made it through and now they've grown up and now they're adults. But there's still all of that stuff inside of them. And it's crazy, like scientifically proven, that stuff has to be dealt with sooner or later. And so I shared about seed digging, and I go between calling it seed digging and freedom prayer, because over the years it was called freedom prayer, and then we switched over to seed digging, and so I've switched back and forth between, you know, the two. And I talked a lot about that. And so I wanted to share today, like, part two, if you will, of this testimony, and there were several different ways, if you will, that I walked through my freedom, that I walked through getting to where I am today. And, you know, guys, until the day that I take my last breath, I'll always be walking through things. There's always going to be something, or God will bring something up. You know, I haven't arrived, you know, and that's not the goal, right? The goal is to just be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, so part two. So part two of this lovely journey that I've been on, I learned that there were two parts of me, if you will, that needed to embrace that healing. My mind and my heart. And it's crazy how they're always, at one point, there just always seemed to be this really hard battle going on, you know, especially in my mind. I'm a thinker. There's like 200, if I were a computer, there would be like 200 tabs open. And when people would come up to me and say, "So, how you doing? What you thinking?" And I'm like, "Oh gosh, what should I land on? Okay, like self-talk, let's just land on something a little normal, because my mind is just everywhere. It's like flowers and unicorns and math equations and ball gowns and parties and, I mean, and Jesus and angels. And like, my mind is a constant, so I'm always thinking." And so with dealing with the mind, right, and that's really what I'm going to talk about a lot today, is that battle of the mind, is I have learned that my mind can be my worst enemy. Okay? And so our mind can be our worst enemy. So I'm going to tell you guys a story, and I promise that this story goes with what I'm talking about. Way, way, way back in the days, you know, I think that I was dating my honey bun at the time, but way, way, way back in the days, I babysat sometimes Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays. I would stay the weekend, and I babysat two girls, Camille and Caroline. So our Camille is named after a Camille. And Camille was almost three, and Caroline was six at the time. And this is really important to know. Camille was just learning how to potty train. I have never felt more successful in parenting over the years than when my children were potty trained. I'm just keeping it real. I'm like, potty, and Amy's over here like, amen, yes. Like, potty training is like, I have arrived as a parent. I have done it. My kid is potty trained. You can graduate from high school. You know what I mean? You know, you just feel so successful with potty training. But at the time, you know, I wasn't married. I didn't have any kids. And so I didn't know the level of intensity it takes to potty train a child. So here I am, Camille and Caroline and I, we all go out. Oh gosh, we swam that day. I think I took them to the park. We had ice cream. I mean, I was a fun babysitter. And then we get home. And by the time that we get back to their house, their parents, I'm not kidding you, the parents' names are Daniel and Jennifer. Can't make any of this up. So we get back to Daniel and Jennifer's house, and they have a dog. They had like a Labradoodle or something. And so we get inside, and Camille says, Miss Jennifer, I pooped. I'm looking down at her like, all right, you got to change me. Well, okay. So, you know, I'm like, okay, like, lay down on the ground. And so, you know, she lays down, and some of y'all mamas out there are really, really, really talented because you're able to get the diaper to roll into such a way, and it's just so neat and great, and everything's wrapped up. I have not, nor will I ever be like that. I just kind of take the diaper off, and I'm like, and I just shove it, like, right in the trash pail. But at the time, I was really, really, really bad at it. So I took the diaper off, and I just, right next to her. And so I'm changing her, and, you know, and I'm knelt down, right? And the dog comes to the other side. And I get her changed, and she stands up, and I go without thinking, okay. And I turned and looked down, and I'm like, oh, my God. Gosh! And I turned to look at them, and the dog had laid. I am now in two piles of poop. And it's squishy. And it's warm, and I am mortified. And both of the girls looked at me and said, I think we better go play now. And off they went, and I'm like, this is a really great idea, because I'm like, standing in two piles of poop. And, you know, oh, I don't know, 24, 25 years later, I don't know how I got out of that poop. I don't know, I can't remember how I took care of the situation. But obviously, I took care of the situation because I'm not standing in it all these years later. But it's crazy how the mind works, okay? Because sad things happen. Real things happen. Life happens. And I don't know if I'm like the only one in the room, but have you ever experienced a moment in time where you're like, this is where I'm going to live? Like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I'm so sad. There's so much going on, and your mind is going 90 to nothing. And you feel mentally, right, that you are just standing in poo. And hey, sometimes it's just right here. But then, and I really have, guys, I have felt over the years where I'm just in the midst. I'm just in the midst of it. And in my mind, if I'm not careful, because the mind is so powerful, I can start telling myself I'm never going to get out of this. Things aren't ever going to change. Life isn't going to get better. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the mind. So another story is, and this one, I wish that this one was as laid back and humorous as the last one, but so the mind, we can often start feeding to ourselves lies based off of something that happened. So Daniel and I are married, and we decide that we're going to start a family. I want to be a mom, and he wants to be a dad, and so we're going to start a family, right? And we get pregnant with our now Camille, but not going too into what I dealt with at the pregnancy at the beginning, but I had a lot of problems at the beginning of my pregnancy with Camille. And I remember in the midst of these physical problems that I was having at the beginning, they scheduled a DNC for me the next day. It was all scheduled, and it was all ready to go, and as I was leaving, bawling my eyes out, because I really wanted this baby. I had dreamed about this baby. I mean, moms, we lay in our beds at night after the house is quiet, and we dream and we imagine things for our children. And we want to hold that baby, and we dream of the future that this baby will have. And they scheduled this DNC, and the doctor said right before I left, we'll do one more thing, we'll run blood work. Okay. So she ran blood work, and my nurse calls me the next morning, and she says, we don't understand. You're still pregnant. And all that we can tell you is that your numbers are so high that you are miscarrying one of the babies, but the other baby is fine. And can I be honest with you? I struggled for a really, really, really long time. Because on one side of the coin, I'm really happy that I'm pregnant. And on the other side of the coin, I lost one of my babies. The baby that I had dreamed about, the future that we were going to have, everything, right? And the mind is crazy, because then I started telling myself, it's all your fault that that happened. You're not a good enough mom. I mean, look at you. You can't be a good enough mom right now, and the baby's not even here. What kind of mom will you be in the future? And I believed that so much in my mind that it became a truth for a very long time. And we had our sweet Camille, and then in between, and I named our first baby, and God showed me a picture that she's a little girl. And then in between the two kids, we have another baby in heaven. And I named him as well. And it's really crazy, right? Because to this day, people will say, if they meet me for the first time, how many kids do you have? Gosh, how do you answer that question? And, you know, and it depends. You know, sometimes they'll say two. You know, they're right here. Then other times I'm getting to know people, I'm like, well, I'm a mom of four, actually. I'm a mom of four. And the mind can tell you so many lies that if you're not careful, it will become your truth. So, how do we do this battle, if you will, in our minds? Sorry, I know that was going to mess me up. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's crazy what the world will tell you. It really can be really crazy. You know what? Yeah, you are a hot mess. This is where you're going to live for the rest of your life. You're just, you know, the good old poo. This is where you're going to stay. You're never going to make it out. You're going to be okay. And what's even crazier is that I did hang around people that would reinforce what a bad mom I was and am. And so the mind, I had to learn, right, within my mind, that the battle that was going on, I needed to learn the characteristics of God. And let me say that again. I needed to learn the characteristics of God. Guys, I've been a Christian for years, right? I should already know this. See, another beating yourself up, right? And yet, I needed to start reminding myself within my mind, God is good. God is great. He's a healer, and he's a provider, and he's a protector, and he's my friend, and he's for me, and he's not against me. And every single time a thought in my mind would come up, I would say, okay, does that thought line up with God? Or does that thought line up with the enemy? Where does that thought fall on? And so guess what? Not only did I start learning the characteristics of God, I needed to start learning the characteristics of the enemy. You know, I was telling my father-in-law yesterday this, and he was like, Jennifer. And I'm like, what is true? I'm like, you know, the enemy, he's defeated. He's already been defeated. And yet, it's like he hangs around. He's the bully on the playground. He's the, okay, ladies, some of you may be able to relate to this, okay, but you're getting all dolled up. You're meeting some fella for the first time. You do your makeup and your hair. When you picked out yourself a nice outfit, right? And you're going to go out on a fancy date. And the guy pulls up and lays on the horn. Honk! And you're like, well, all right. And so you go out. And he doesn't open the door. And you get in the car. And he peels off. And then you get to dinner. Well, I mean, it's a date, right? So you order something nice and fancy. And the check comes. And he's like, oh, she'll pay. And you're like, all righty. And then he's like, so, you don't want to do something after? No, actually, you can take me home. And he's like, okay. And so he takes you home and drops you off. And then he's like, hey, so, can I call you tomorrow? Oh, absolutely not. And then he turns around and he calls the next day. And he keeps calling and bugging you until you're just like, dude, get a hint. Okay. I'm sorry, my imagination, okay? I'm like, the enemy? It's like, dude, get a clue. You're defeated. You're just a bully. You're a nuisance. You're a really bad date. You know, like, I know who you are. You see, I know what the enemy can do. But you know what? He only has power if I give it to him. He's defeated. He's the enemy. And so, and let me say that again, he only has power over my mind and my thoughts and what I think about myself if I go, oh, here you go. Here's the key. That's it. Other than that, and again, I mean, you guys have a little grace and mercy with my crazy imagination, but there are moments where I'm like, no. Let me have this long conversation. No. Know your enemy and his characteristics. I love war movies. Like, I've watched a handful of chick flicks in my lifetime, and chick flicks are great. Hallmark is wonderful, and I think it's great. I just really, really, really love anything like war-based and historical. Those are my favorites. I like drama. I like true story. And I love, yeah, any type of war movies. And so because I love war movies, I read a whole lot of historical books based off of wars and battles. And The Art of War by, and I'm probably not going to enunciate his name right, The Art of War by Sun Tzu was written around 5 BC. To this day, it is the most influential text in Eastern Asian warfare, and it is used in their military. It's been around for that long. And do you know what the art of war is about? It is about the study of the enemy and the tactics of the enemy. It teaches generals, commanders, anyone who's really high up in military, how to know and defeat the enemy. All the strengths and all the weaknesses. And so I thought, you know, I need to know who the enemy is. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. My enemy is not my husband. My enemy is not my friends. My enemy isn't my friends. The list can go on and on and on. It says right here who my enemy is. And so the mind and the power behind our mind, guys, is really important. How do we go about our mind? You know, as I was going through freedom prayer, sea digging, and getting free with things, it's crazy how a lot of times Alan and I would start out with the mind and what I was thinking. Because he would be like, so, what are you feeling? I don't know. He's like, okay, well, let's like, not, come on, Jen, what are you feeling? I don't know. Angry. I was always angry. That's like my go-to emotion, right? Angry. And he's like, okay. And so, in freedom prayer, when we went back to memories, it was without fail what I thought about myself. Thought I was a bad mom. I'm not a good friend. I'm not a good daughter. Think. And we had to, before we could even get to the emotions, which emotions are so layered, and I actually don't think I'll even get to that part today. But we had to pray, and I needed to join with the Holy Spirit and see what God thought. What does God think about this? And I needed to see from his point of view what he thought before we could even go on. Or else I'd just be stuck. And then after that, it's crazy because at the end of Freedom Prayer, Alan would always pray for rewiring of the mind, if you will. And I needed that. I needed all the prayer. Yes, let's rewire all of that. Because I would walk out And I have surrounded myself around really great people. I have a wonderful husband who, if I start to say something, he'll be like, that doesn't sound like Jesus, stop. He does. We actually do that to each other. Wait a minute, you're putting down God's masterpiece, stop. See, I started thinking and seeing people differently. It breaks my heart when people are put down and ripped apart. I don't like it. I don't hang around that anymore, actually. I want to hear about God's masterpieces because that's who we are. I don't want to hear about other people being ripped apart. And I'm not going to rip me apart. And I'm surrounded by really, really great friends who talk positively about their husbands and positively about their kids. And it's crazy because over the years, I think that I'm just going to go ahead and call it a lie, actually. Time heals all. Jesus heals, and Jesus heals all. You know, Camille's going to be 17 years later, and I still get teary-eyed thinking about her sister. But God has healed my pain. And I think about the little boy who's 15 years old. That's how old he would be this year. And it's been 15 years, right? And time didn't do that. But Jesus did. Jesus healed. And it's okay because sometimes at night I'll cry. I'm a late at night crier. Not during the day too much, but at night, I'm all by myself. And the tears are sometimes just, they're just loaded, right? And he just comes and sits with me. And Jesus and I, we hang out. And he tells me, right? Hey, remember, you're a good mom. And I'm taking care of your kids until you get here and join with them. And sometimes, you know, our imagination, it's right here, right? It's in our mind. And as we tend to get older, I think that sometimes we aren't as in touch with our imagination as we were when we were this big. But I'll be like, hey, God, I just want to imagine with you right now. And I've had experiences with my babies. I've watched them in my mind grow up in heaven. I have. And that's the most powerful thing that God has done for me over the years, you guys. All the trauma and all the sadness that we experience, we don't have to stand right there in the middle of stuff. That's not where we live. That's not where he's called us to be, Pastor Harvey. We're overcomers. We're his kids. He calls us his friend. And that's another thing. That's the last thing I'm going to end with. Know who you are with God. You know, some of us have been taught that, you know, we're just dirty, filthy sinners, and we're barely making, and we're barely going to get to heaven if we do all the things, and if we say all the... Can I just say that as a mom, that's not how I treat my kids? And if I don't treat my kids like that, and God is so much, I love my kids. You messed up? Okay, cool. Well, what do we learn from it? Let's keep going. I tell my kids all the time how much I love them. My kids, we're best friends. We're buddies. Daniel and I are their parents, but those are our favorite people to hang out with. You guys come over to our house, and I'm like looking across the room, and we've had some people over, and we hang out with our kids. Our kids are cool. We love it. We love all of their friends, right? That's what God thinks about you. He loves to hang out with you. You're having a bad day? Okay, have a bad day with Jesus. You're sad? You're excited? Do that with Jesus. know the characters of God to tell your mind. And know the characters of the enemy to tell your mind. And then know what he thinks about you and what he calls you. It's all throughout Scripture, and it's beautiful. I would like for one of my friends, Paul Beatty, to come up real quick. He has a testimony that he wants to share with us. Paul, will you come on up? I have known Paul for golly, I think 20 plus years. Phenomenal friend of mine. His kids, there's the mic. Phenomenal people.
Are you at the end?
I'm at
am I in the middle here?
I'm almost to the end, actually, yeah.
So it just really kind of occurred to me, kind of why Jennifer is a part of my life, why she's my friend, why I've enjoyed her and Daniel's friendship so much. I can hear her story, and I can you feel the pain, the overcoming, the love of God, and all those things come out in your testimony. It's incredible. But I'm thankful that God put you in my life and to be a big part of it, because now I know why you've encouraged me. I know why you have stood with me, why you've always been positive, always encouraging. You're that person. And it's because you went through these things. But if I only heard it one time, I might go away and not remember that time. You know, I might remember a little bit. Jennifer's had these things. But if she's a part of my life, if she's a friend of mine, if she's family, then because of the things she has been through, she's there to support me. Unknowing, I would never know, but she's a great encourager because of the things she went through. And I never knew back then, but you need those people in your life. That's why we need family, why we need friends to be a part of our life, not just come together for corporate Sunday service and then we don't see each other anymore. There was a time not many years ago that I couldn't imagine being any place but here in this place, because my friends were here, my family was here, I knew everybody, and they were a part of my life. And from them, they supported me, loved me. I've found all these things that really encouraged my life and to make me who I am today even. And you know, you can Google it or look at surveys and stuff like that, but it's been shown that people that live in community live longer, live healthier, their mental status is better. All these things are better to live in community. People that live alone die younger, have health issues, have mental issues, all kind of things, spiritual issues. They don't have anybody to share all that with, you know. So if we used to say, you know, you pour into my life, I'll pour into yours. So I'll take my experience, what I've learned, and pour into your life, you pour into mine. So Al and I were talking about this the other day, and it's like, how do you get back to that? How do you get back to that? How do you get to that point where we're family again and we're not just Sunday service, you know, see each other and how you doing and we're gone? And the testimony I'd like to share was from several years ago. I can't even remember. It was a Valentine's, and I was asked to cook for 35 couples. They set up a big thing and tables and everything out front. And so that's 70 people. That's not that bad if you're doing a fish fry or something like that. But if you're going to serve a really nice meal, it's a little bit different. And I had a five-course meal, and I wanted it to be special. And so there was a guy I worked with, and he was, he loved to cook. He loved to do things. He loved to cook. The guy had been in church all his life, but he doesn't like church anymore. He knew plenty of Bible, plenty of everything, but he never really was accepting of it. And even though he knew the way, he just didn't want to go there. So, but anyway, so I asked him to come and be my sous chef, to help be my helper in the kitchen, and to even help with a couple of the dishes, and he took over and asked him to take over for desserts, and he did that. And so he came here, and we were in this little kitchen back here cooking for 70 people. And people would stop by, and he would, you know, as he was taking food in or out or to the front up here, people would stop and talk to him, and he engaged with, I bet, 100 people, engaged him in conversation. And he came to me, we were standing in the kitchen back there, and he said, this got to be the friendliest group of people I've ever met. He said, it's like everybody here is family. And I told him, I said, Matthew, that it really is. And he was just, he was amazed that this many people could be this much of a family and this encouraging and this, just wanting to be together and enjoying their time. So Alan and I talked about that. This and we talked about, he asked me, he said, how do we get back there? And I think the way we get back there is intentionally want to be with each other, want to share our lives with each other, but also want other lives to share with you, other people to share their life with you, instead of just sitting in a service once or twice a week. And I know that, you know, they started back the family, what is it?
Family time?
Night. Yeah, family night. Well, that's a great start. And that's intentional. That's a great start. So I hope that, I know you're going to be hearing from Pastor Allen about this in the near future. So I kind of look forward to see what, you know, what he thinks. And his thoughts on it and his encouragement and his mm-hmm. path to do that.
Yeah.
So, and I can't leave without bringing India into this.
Go for it.
So we leave on Wednesday. So in India, it's like there's people that know Mohan come into his office. I've seen him greet and meet tens of thousands of people, it seems like. And people would come in and they would call him Buddy. And I'm like, but his name's not Buddy. But then there's this other 1,000 people, they call him Anna. And then these other people call him Uncle. So I had to find a solution in my mind. You know, what is this? So I started asking people, and they all had the same answer. Buddy is an acquaintance. If you're a buddy, that's your acquaintance. So people that he was acquainted with called him Buddy. People called me Buddy. And I enjoyed that. But then to be called Anna means friend. So there was another whole group around him, you know, that he didn't see often, but they were friends. So they called him Anna. And then, 7 years ago, maybe, somebody called me Uncle. And I'm like, what's an uncle? And uncle means your family. Mm-hmm. That was probably one of the, I don't know, greatest gifts I've ever been given. Mm-hmm. So just to be considered family like that. So whether you're a buddy or Anna or your uncle, let's get back to that place where we can all I'll be aunts and uncles.
Yes. Okay? That sounds beautiful.
So that's all I have.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, that's awesome. So here's, I'm sorry. Okay, go for it.
I just want to get up here and say that thank you. Thank you. Do you know the guts that takes for her to get up here and confess this to all of us in here? So many people can be so judgmental for what she had said. And you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, he has brought her through this. And we praise you, God, and we thank you, Jennifer, for your love, your compassion, and for sharing this with us, because other people go through this too. And I think it's wonderful. And I think we owe her a round of applause. So I want everybody to clap for this girl. Thank you.
Thank you. That's very sweet. So this morning, as we're wrapping up, we're going to have ministry time. You know, I feel like we're meant to be intentional this morning. Oftentimes, you know, we just kind of boot scoot out of here, and that's okay. You know, sometimes there are just places and things you just have to go and do. But Alex, could you please, our keyboard player is serving the kids this morning, which is awesome. Could you just play some light music up there, please? And I would just ask for everybody to stand, please. And here's what we're going to do, friends. So, this morning while I was speaking, could we get our prayer teams up here, please, Pastor Harvey? Thank you so much. This morning as I was talking, if you're someone who has experienced loss, and it just really hit you this morning that, golly, like that's, I hurt this morning. I hurt deeply. I want to ask you to come up here and spend some time with family. This is family. And you don't have to. It takes a lot of bravery. More times than not, I have sobbed from the middle of church just coming up. But if that's you, and this morning you have experienced some loss over the years, and you just want comfort, and you just want to feel some love this morning, I want to invite you up front. In your mind, if you're beating yourself up, if you will, gosh, I'm just such a loser. I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good mom. I'm not good. I'm not good enough. If any of those ring a bell, I would like to invite you up to get prayer. And I might get prayer myself in a little while. But and hey, if we all come up for an amen, we'll just start praying for each other, right? So, Daniel, do you have anything that you would like to say before we close?
Yeah, just, man, thank you guys for coming. And, yeah, just everyone that shared this morning. It was a good day to come to church, wasn't it? So, yeah, let's just pray real quick, and we'll just be released. So, God, we just thank you for hanging out with us, Lord. Man, it was a good day. It was a good day to be with friends, to be with family, and to be with you, God. Amen. Yeah, thank you, guys. Feel free to come up front if you would like, and you guys have a great Sunday.